Going In Raw is now a CastBox original. CastBox is the fastest-growing, highest-rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts. You can still listen to Going In Raw wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best.
Hey guys, this is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw.
What's up, it's your girl, Sasha Banks, legit boss, and you're watching Going In Raw. Like that?
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Yeah, welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you'll be listening to right here, youtube.com/ Steve and Larson. This is the coffee talking right now. Wow, what a night. We stayed up all night watching New Japan Pro Wrestling's Dominion 2018.
Wow.
We had a plethora. At one point, we had like 800 people. And granted, I know, you know, this is just on the Pacific Coast. It ran from midnight until around 4:30-ish, 4:45. Yeah. And then we broke down. We came over here. We didn't break down. We broke down our little set in there, brought our stuff in here to do the recap, at which point, once this is done with, by the time anybody's watching this, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm hoping.
Yeah.
I am out.
I'm probably going to be eating a donut.
Hopefully, I'll get a couple hours of sleep before Alabama wakes me up, which will absolutely happen.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's going to
Before we could carry on, one of the prop bets was how long the match was going to be.
What was it?
Guess.
66.
Yep.
Oh, no. Well, I went over by 1 minute. I thought it was going to be 65 and under. It ended up being 66 minutes.
66 minutes and 11 seconds.
I had a feeling that was going to be the case. I'm okay with that, though. So
because in the end, we all won.
Yeah, we really did.
What a main event. What a show.
What a card. So here's the thing. Like, throughout the entirety of the show, I felt there's tired and then there's tired. Sometimes, so I've been up for almost 24 hours now.
Mm-hmm.
During the show, I didn't feel any of it. I was entertained from start to finish.
And the way New Japan does their shows, especially these major ones where the card is stacked,
yeah,
they could run a 4.5 hour show, but it goes by like it feels like it's 2 hours.
Yeah, it's funny because we jokingly made the comparison during the show. Or I think, was it Alex C? I forget who it was. It might have been Alex C. It might have been somebody else who said, you know, 35 minutes into Backlash, I'm already sitting there looking at my phone. I forget what he said. What
looking
you were
sleepy.
Looking sleepy. And that was like in the late afternoon, early evening.
Yeah, that's probably about 5:30, 6 o'clock.
But, you know, it was, you know, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. And we were enthralled.
And by the end of that main event, the last 15 minutes, my heart was pounding.
Yeah.
The drama, high.
Yeah.
Tension.
Yeah.
High.
Yeah.
Couldn't wait to see the result because I had no idea.
Yeah. So we had a lot of title changes. I would really love, it's so funny, man. I would really love to get into the mind of the New Japan head writers, Gato, Jado, whoever does the actual, because I wonder if what services what? Does the rest of the card service this huge main event title change? Because going into the main event, there's already been so many title changes,
mm-hmm.
It leads you to believe that we're not going to see another one.
Mm-hmm.
Okada's reign in general made me think, well, we're not going to see it here.
We've learned not to bet against Okada.
Right, exactly. And the build wasn't, you know, the build wasn't, this was simply Okada challenging Omega again.
Yeah.
Not a huge build. By the end, by the time the title change happened, the match itself made sense for the title change. Regardless mm-hmm. of anything that happened before it, the match itself, it made perfect sense by the time it finished. Of course, leading into the San Francisco show, the Cow Palace show, it also makes a lot of sense.
Oh, yeah.
It makes a ton of sense. And so it was a very, very interesting title change, and one that makes sense. We're going to go over that in a little bit. Let's kick it off with the beginning of the show.
Yeah, so the show kicked off with Roppongi 3K challenging El Desperado and Kanemaru for the junior heavyweight tag titles. This is a pretty quick match, pretty breezy, fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
In the end, though, the team from Suzuki Goon went back to their old dastardly ways.
Yeah.
Because Kanemaru hit Sho with a whiskey bottle while the ref wasn't looking.
Yeah.
Desperado rolls him up, gets the win. Those junior tag titles stay in Suzuki Goon.
Yeah, I know so little about this division. Until after the match.
You thought Roppongi 3K
walked in as champions.
No.
Yeah. So I figured they were champions. I don't think that would have changed. This is the only match we
differed on
going into it. It wouldn't have changed anything. If I knew Suzuki Goon had the titles, I probably still would have said Roppongi 3K would have got the titles. They're a really cool looking team.
They are.
They're a fantastic young couple of guys who are just fantastic wrestlers. Would have figured they'd have got them. So I'll totally admit that I got that one wrong. After that, we had not a meaningless match. It served a story.
Yeah, they're building up to Juice.
They're going
to
put that title on him. They're going to put that U.S. title on him.
Probably.
And it's going to be an upgrade from Jay White. It is. Juice has paid his dues.
Yeah, he has.
I joked about him during the live stream.
I feel
he's a good wrestler.
Jay White has a much higher ceiling.
Yeah, but he's really young.
I know.
And his ceiling is way higher at a much later date.
Oh, I know.
That's the thing. Right now, he's below where that belt really should be.
Oh, I know.
And I feel like Juice is a really, really good next step for that title because he kind of brings it up a little bit. Paying his dues for a little while.
Yeah, he's really won over the crowds.
Yeah,
in
big
New Japan.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That much is obvious. Juice Robinson, Dave Finley versus Jay White, Yoshihashi. I mean, I guess Juice and Dave Finley, they're Taguchi Japan.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then obviously Jay White Yoshihashi.
Chaos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Juice got the pin. It was a fun match.
Yeah, it was a fun match. And then, you know, we were expecting Yoshihashi to be the one taking the pin, but no, it was Jay White.
Yeah. I didn't really realize that they were built there. Like, I think they've been teasing Juice Robinson and Jay White. To do something.
And it makes sense following Dave Finley challenging Jay White.
Yeah.
And they've had that match. Apparently it was pretty good.
Yeah.
It makes sense for Juice to be next in line concerning his friendship with Dave Finley.
He got the win over Jay White with Pulp Friction.
Yep.
After that.
Talk about a fun match.
Oh, I mean, here's the thing. Like, so the first two matches were fairly breezy.
Yeah.
And that was smart.
Yep.
You know, you get through them. It's fun. It's a lot of dudes. You get Roppongi 3K. They're great. And then the Juice Robinson, all that stuff. And then you get Suzuki and Zack Sabre Jr. versus Ishii and Yano. And essentially, Yano and Zack Sabre Jr., they were in the match.
No, this is essentially Ishii versus Minoru Suzuki.
But this was Ishii versus Minoru Suzuki.
Staying in the middle of the ring, dropping forearms and slapping the heck out of each other.
Seemingly just really getting a kick out of seeing how much damage they can inflict. This was so much fun.
Oh, it was a ton of fun.
And it hurt.
Oh, yeah.
And the faces that Suzuki makes and the faces that Ishii doesn't make.
I know.
Because it's Stone Pitbull.
Yeah.
He's Stone.
Yeah.
And Suzuki, all that kind of stuff. It was great. It was absolutely great. And the number of times we just said, oh, God, that hurt.
I mean, there was at least twice. They're standing in the middle of the ring dropping forearms on each other.
Yeah.
It sounded like a baseball bat hitting a turkey.
Oh,
it was
man.
So loud, just flesh on flesh.
Oh, it was great.
And then the only note I have for majority of this match does give us more Ishii and Suzuki.
Yeah, dude, I want to. Yeah, I want like a
give
true
us
a
two, best two out of three falls hour long match between these two.
I don't know. I don't know if either guy could survive that. I really don't. Anyways, I mean, it was sort of incidental. Yano tapped out to Zack Sabre Jr.
But at the same time, Suzuki had Ishii in another hold. So this is kind of like Team Suzuki Goon 1.
Yeah, and it didn't really matter because, again, like you said, it just went to service more even after the match more Suzuki Ishii. They had a chair off in the middle of the ring.
Yeah, Suzuki won that, destroyed his chair. But Ishii's
oh my
back.
God.
God, who knew sticking your tongue out would make you cough that much?
Yeah, dude.
And after that, they went to the outside and they spent a good minute and a half just slapping the heck out of each other in the face.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
It was great.
More. Give me more.
More
please,
of that.
Please give me more.
Do some Bubba. Get some water in there.
I just did.
Next up, we had never open weight championship match. Taichi, which is seemingly out of his element because you got Michael Elgin, who was not wearing a singlet.
Granted, yeah, he just had trunks.
I haven't watched the last couple.
He did not, in fact, wrestle the match naked. He was wearing something.
Sadly. If there was anybody on this card who I think I'd get a kick out of watching wrestle a match naked, it'd be him. And of course, the champion walking into the match, Hiroki Goto.
Yeah. No, Taichi, you just got bumped up to the heavyweight division
for reasons beyond my comprehension.
Well, I mean, his entire packaging is hilarious.
Yeah, it really is.
Because it's a weird mishmash. We said this during the stream, but he's got the singing gimmick.
Yeah.
But he doesn't really sing. He lip syncs.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, it's very theatrical, like Phantom of the Opera type stuff. Yeah. He has a mask and a really.
Like you turn on PBS. You turn on
it's like
PBS.
Masterpiece Theater.
Well, no, it's more like you turn on PBS at like 11 at night, and they've got those stage productions that they're filming.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like that.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know?
That's what I meant to say.
Like opera character.
Yeah. So he does the singing thing.
Yeah.
But then he also does like male stripper when
he does strippogram.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, did anybody order a mailman? You know, rips it off. Yeah, the party boy.
Yeah, party boy essentially. Boy. But then he also he's you know like a traditional heel. He utilizes the ring bell mallet.
Right.
To win matches.
Yeah.
It's all that wrapped into one package, and I find that endlessly hilarious.
And I do appreciate that. So, like, when the Young Bucks got bumped up, or when they bumped themselves up to heavyweight, pictures of them in the gym, getting, you know, buff,
getting
protein
jacked.
Shakes,
yeah, yeah.
getting jacked. Seemingly, Taichi's main road to heavyweight has been just don't work out anymore because he's just a little thicker in the midsection now.
Bit.
And his pants are like two sizes too small.
Well, his trunks were.
His
and he
trunks.
Was having some wardrobe issues keeping those tearaway pants from tearing away on their own.
Yeah, he was like fiddling with that the
there
entire
was
time.
There one point where he took a move and was supposed to sell it, but his tearaway pants were about to fall off.
Yeah.
So he had to spend a few minutes, seconds
was,
on the ground trying to reattach his pants.
Doing this. It was all very comical.
Yeah.
And then Michael Elgin's there like... buffing, you know, puffing his chest out like
yeah.
this because he doesn't have the singlet to sort of let loose in.
Yeah.
Because the singlet that he used to wear was like pleather. So it wasn't like it was.
It was combo pleather and spandex.
Yeah. But it didn't, you know, it wasn't like total spandex.
Yeah.
So that, you know, every little bump can be seen. So he had some breathing room in it.
It was like Spanx kind of. Is that
now,
what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. Like Spanx. But now Michael Elgin, he has to make sure that, hey...
he's in a tip-top shape.
Exactly.
And his posture's good.
That dude flew out the ring at one point and just landed in a perfect like sitting position.
Yeah.
While taking out Taichi and Goto. A lot of sort of goofy spots with Taichi being outmatched in power, obviously.
Yeah.
By Elgin and Goto.
Being more or less out of his element.
And the match was kind of wonky to kick things off for the first like 5 minutes or so, but it actually kicked into pretty decent gear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there were some good spots. Taichi took his microphone in a good heel fashion while his female apprentice, I guess.
Valet. Yeah.
Was distracting the ref. After he rolled her in the ring, she distracts the ref while he grabs his microphone and starts, you know, beating on
Elgin.
He
took a little while to capitalize on that. He doled out a super kick, another kick, couldn't get a pin on Goto.
Yeah.
And then Elgin buckle bombed him and then threw Goto in the corner and then buckle bombed Taichi into Goto.
Into Goto.
And then Elgin bombed Taichi to get the win. So Michael Elgin is your new never open weight champion.
Yeah. So well done, Michael Elgin. Next up, we had the Young Bucks' very first title challenge for the heavyweight IWGP Tag Team Championships against the current champions or walking in champions, LIJ, Evil, and Sonata.
Yeah. This was a ton of fun.
Yeah, this is a blast. This is a lot of fun.
Matt Jackson, of course, has been both kayfabe and I think shoot been nursing some sort of back injury, although he wasn't wearing the weight belt. So hopefully, this chair is really squeaky.
Yeah, man.
Hopefully, his back injury is better. nonetheless, like the first shot he took to his back, he was selling back injury.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nick Jackson at one point was going for a kick. I believe it was Evil got out of the way. And so he ended up kicking the ring post.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were selling foot injury with Nick Jackson for the rest of the match.
Yeah, Evil took advantage of that. He wrapped his leg up in the guardrail at one point.
And started stomping on it, yeah.
And stomped on it. And so he was, so everything that Nick Jackson tried to do that he's sort of responsible for, you know, whenever Matt Jackson has somebody in position for
a Meltzer driver.
Meltzer driver, Indy driver, whatever.
Indy taker,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. One time they went for that, and Nick did the springboard, couldn't do it, fell off the ropes.
Falls off.
Yeah. So they end up not winning with that.
Yeah.
They won with more bang for your buck.
Yeah.
So the Young Bucks are now the heavyweight tag team champions.
But really, really fantastic match.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. Good storytelling.
Yes, excellent storytelling.
Yeah.
Sorry, carry on.
After that, Jushin Thunder Liger. This is like the most face team I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Jushin Thunder Liger, Tanahashi.
The ace. Go ace.
The ace. And Rey Mysterio Jr.
Making his New Japan debut, I believe.
Yeah.
Took on a team of Bullet Club members, Cody, Marty Scurll, and Hangman Page.
Yeah, they say they're Bullet Club.
What is Bullet Club now?
I don't even know. Nobody wears it. Nobody
comes out to the theme song.
Yeah, like the Young Bucks, they have their own theme, their Bullet Club-esque Young Bucks shirts on. Nobody wears Bullet Club. No Fale, no Tokyo Pimp.
No Tama Tonga.
No Chase Owens.
Yeah.
No Tonga Loa.
No.
And even the other dude, Louie, what's his face?
Leo
Tonga, Tama Tonga. He wasn't anywhere we found. No Cody.
No Bone Soldier.
Yeah. I mean, Cody Hall. I mean.
Yeah. Well, he hasn't been around a long time.
He's in Pro Wrestling Noah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And no Ishimura.
Yeah.
No Bone Soldier. No Bullet Club theme song. It's like the best theme song.
It's pretty good.
And nobody was wearing anything
Bullet Club gear whatsoever.
Yeah, man.
The result of this match was kind of surprised. I think we both thought that since this is Mysterio's first match, they'd give him the win, but maybe they're setting up something between him and Marty.
Yeah, there's any number of ways they can go. Mysterio Marty, Mysterio Cody. It was a fun enough match. Mysterio looks great.
Oh, yeah.
No signs of problems with that bicep of his. He didn't even have it taped up or wrapped up or
anything.
Yeah, nothing going on there.
Yeah, he's in great shape.
All arm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cody got the pin on Jushin Thunder Liger.
Yeah, after a crossroads.
A pretty nasty crossroads. Fun stuff, though. I mean, everybody got to do their thing, so that's good.
Yeah, Ray hit a 619 on both Skrull and Hangman Page.
Yeah. I mean, I guess this is just a setup. This, like, when you look at it, this kind of just seemingly sets up one thing, maybe two. I mean, we might get Tanahashi.
Cody?
Cody, maybe at Cow Palace.
I don't know. I kind of feel like it's going to be Cody and the IWGP Heavyweight Champion at Cow Palace.
Yeah, I guess that could be the thing.
Mm-hmm.
That could be the thing. He came out at the end. Yeah, maybe that's the thing. Who's Tanahashi going to take? Hangman Page. Let's see, do Jericho Tanahashi.
They might do that some
the
point,
IC
yeah.
title.
Yeah.
That could be a thing.
That could be.
Anyways, yeah, Cody got the pin. Bullet Club, I guess.
Bullet Club is fine.
They're fine.
Next.
They won.
Hiromu Takahashi ticking time bomb, taking on Will Ospreay for the Junior Heavyweight Championship.
Now, I always say this. You guys can go back and watch our reactions. They're available to watch. They should be available to watch by now. I might just get some of our reactions and put that in a little video. Mm-hmm. I always say that, but I never do it. I'd like to do it. Maybe somebody else will do it for me. Not you. Somebody else.
Somebody else, yeah.
Somebody just rip it and do it.
Yeah.
This was a difficult match to watch.
Yeah, well...
It was insanely entertaining and exciting, but man...
Whenever the story is who can damage the other person's neck enough to get a win, it's hard to watch. I was like Naito Omega in the G1 final last year. That was the story of that match.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard to watch.
Yeah, right.
Just because it's just upper shoulder neck impact after impact after impact. So this match started off fast. They just go to the middle of the ring and start clobbering on each other. And then they go to the outside, expose the concrete.
Yeah.
Ospreay does like, he flies off the ramp.
Okay, so it was as if they were anxious to do this move because they sped there, basically. They just got to it. He like ran up the like a ticking time bomb was sort of off the ramp.
Yeah, he was down next to the guardrail.
He was down near the guardrail.
Yeah.
Ospreay jets up the ramp, full sprints, and I swear to God, like a good 80 feet away, he launches himself.
Does a flip.
Somehow, that gives him even more momentum because I swear he started going faster after the flip.
I think he made himself more aerodynamic doing that.
I think he did. He found a way to defy physics and like flew, like cartoonishly flew, like basically past...
Almost over.
Over Hiromu Takahashi.
He pretty much just got a piece of Hiromu's head, it looked like.
Yeah.
But yeah, if he had a little bit more momentum, he would have flown right over.
I have no idea how he did that. It was insane.
I mean, this isn't hyperbole. Insane. It looked like he flew anywhere between 8 to 10 feet.
It really did.
Before making contact.
Yeah, it really did.
It was absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Will Ospreay is a freak athlete.
He really is. And
but after that, or maybe before, I don't remember exactly, they exposed the concrete on the outside.
So of course, we're just thinking, oh, sunset flip powerbomb.
Yeah,
that's going
to
suck.
I don't want to see that.
I don't want to see
that. That's hard enough for someone not to smack their head on the ring mat on the outside. I don't want to see that. I'll see someone crack their head open on concrete later on the match. But there's that specter of exposed concrete on the outside that was looming over the whole duration of the match. We're just waiting for that spot to happen.
Yeah.
They get back in. They kind of slow the pace down a bit. There's some submission holds. Trying to wear down their opponents. Business picks back up. Takahashi gets Ospreay in a triangle.
Mm-hmm.
Ospreay powerbombs him, but Takahashi doesn't let go of the move. Ospreay picks him up again, but instead of powerbombing, he more or less kind of dumps him on the back of his head.
Yeah, he does sort of like,
It's like how people land for a one-wing angel, except there's no hand on the back of the neck to support their head. Although I will say Ospreay on the way down did tuck Hiromu's neck a little bit or head a little bit. But still, there wasn't that hand there to brace it.
Yeah.
And Hiromu had both his hands on Ospreay's arm.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much Takahashi didn't have a whole lot of chance to kind of protect himself.
Yeah.
Other than tuck his chin and try to land as much on his upper back as he could. It looked rough at full speed.
And the crazy thing, like the thing is that you got to understand about this match. We made a joke during it. I was like, a lot of this stuff is literally too much. It's too fast to call.
Too complicated.
And then you said, action too complicated to call.
Yeah.
And that's what it was because they would just do stuff. And I'm like, I just saw 15 moves in one sequence that ate up about 6 seconds, you know? And I was like, I don't even know what any of this is. It was amazing, fantastic, and it hurt to watch.
Yeah.
And on top of it, like, not only did it hurt to watch, doubly so because of the anticipation just knowing these two guys, man, they got to dial it down.
Yeah, especially Will Ospreay. He came in the match with his entire upper back rock taped up.
Yeah.
So it turned out the exposed concrete didn't quite come into play. There was a sunset flip powerbomb. It was in the vicinity of the concrete, but it was just maybe a foot to the left of the concrete. So,
yeah.
Thankfully.
And then the finish was fantastic. Takahashi finally was able to pin Ospreay after a time bomb and after like multiple attempts.
Yeah.
And picked up the win.
I know, surprisingly, because we thought, you know, especially after Strong Style Evolve, where Will Ospreay dropped that promo talking about wanting to be the greatest junior heavyweight champ of all time and wanting to take that belt to the next level. I was expecting him to have a really long reign.
All of his, because I've watched a bunch of his promos, be it in like, you know, short video form on Twitter or whatever.
Yeah.
His build his reign as champion seemed to be geared towards, like you said, a longer run. But then they throw this at us. And again, it sort of brings me back to were these title changes all independently sort of plotted out
based on stories or
based on their individual stories, or was the entire thing kind of a swerve to throw us off the main event story? I don't know. The IC title, which was up next, Chris Jericho picked up the IC title win off of Tetsuya Naito in a crazy entertaining match, just an absolutely entertaining match. Before the bell even started, there was a good 10 minutes of Jericho
destroying Naito.
Completely annihilating
Naito.
Naito
walks down the ramp. He's right about to get to the ring. Jericho comes from behind, lays him out. and then just proceeds to beat the heck out of him through the crowd. Mm-hmm. He sets up a table, power bombs him through it. Mm-hmm. This is all before the bell rings.
Yeah.
Goes over the announcer area, DDTs Naito onto the table.
He basically spikes him on the table.
Yeah, yeah. And so this takes, as you said, a good 8 to 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, Jericho rolls him in the ring, yells at Red Shoes to ring the bell. He does. Jericho goes for a cover, and Naito kicks out pretty much immediately.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
There's blood on Naito. He still has his suit on.
Yeah.
He doesn't have his jacket on, but he has, like, the vest and the shirt and the pants. He has all that still on through, like, the first half of the match. Naito starts bleeding from his right eye.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was right under it.
Yeah, it was.
Eventually, Naito makes a comeback. He goes to the outside, grabs a piece of the table that Jericho powerbombed through, and hits Jericho over the head with it. Goes to the table that he got DDT'd on, mm-hmm. and gives Jericho a pile driver on top of it.
Yeah.
So some good symmetry there. Jericho, several times throughout this, gets Naito in the walls of Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
Naito always finds a way to escape, getting to the ropes, escaping it, reversing it. Until at one point, Naito goes for a top rope Hurricane Rana. Jericho holds on to him, kind of almost drops him on his head, right into the walls of Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
Naito gets out. There was a weird spot where it looked like Jericho wasn't sure how to sell a Destino. They figure it out, though.
Yeah.
I mean, because it is kind of a weird...
It really is.
It's kind of a weird setup for the move.
It really is, yeah.
Naito eventually hits a Destino, but Jericho is near the ropes and grabs onto it.
Mm-hmm.
There's this great spot where Naito is going for a flying forearm, and Jericho just gives him the Codebreaker in midair.
Yeah, that was
gosh, rad. That was awesome.
And Jericho's character work was absolutely brilliant during this. He was just hilarious. He was just cursing a lot.
What did he say to Red Shoes?
Come on, don't be a son of a bitch.
Stop being a son of a bitch.
Yeah, yeah.
When he didn't declare. I think it was when Naito broke free one of the walls of Jericho's. Mm-hmm. Anyways, Naito kicks out at 2 on that Codebreaker attempt. The finish saw Jericho push Red Shoes, hit a low blow on Naito, Codebreaker. Jericho picks up the win. He is the new IWGP Intercontinental Champion. He wasn't done with Naito, though, after the bell.
Right. Hit him with the belt.
Hit him with the IC belt, took his own belt off, started beating him up with that.
Yeah.
And then Evil comes down, fends off Jericho, makes the save. So mm-hmm. I'm guessing we're going to get Jericho versus Evil.
Maybe.
G1 special, yeah, I'm guessing.
Yeah, that could be. That could be.
But as you said, Jericho's character work throughout was exceptional.
And it's
and Naito did an awesome job selling everything.
It's really interesting. I think what's happening here is really, really cool writing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the two of the big four, Naito, Omega, kind of taking parallel paths in different directions, I guess, you know, like, or opposite paths, I guess.
Yeah.
You got Okada, who's the anchor. He's the title guy, right? And you've got two guys who are the obvious number one contenders for
mm-hmm.
it. I mean, Tanahashi's sort of doing something else. But you got Naito and Omega, two guys. Okay, well, Omega should have won it at Wrestle Kingdom last year. Naito should have won it at Wrestle Kingdom this year.
Mm-hmm.
Both guys. And then you take a look at the paths they're on. One guy won the big title tonight because he's moving forward. Same way with Okada, having built up his title reign via sort of, I guess you could say, absorbing everybody's powers and becoming Okada Reborn.
Yeah.
Well, in the same manner, Omega has been moving his life forward past Bullet Club,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the Golden Lovers, getting through all of his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Naito, on the other hand, the other number one contender, the other obvious guy who should have been winning
seemed like to be in a position to win the title. Yes.
Yeah. Has been going backwards.
Mm-hmm.
He's been relying on his past far too much. And look at where it's got him. Now he doesn't even have the IC title.
Yeah.
The title that he took for granted
a
year ago. Now he's even lost that to a guy who's like pushing 50 years old.
Yeah.
And so where does that leave him?
I know they've done a really good job of kind of deconstructing the Naito character throughout the year. I mean, I hadn't really thought about that until Wrestle Kingdom when he tried to do his old finisher against Okada. And the commentary team was really clear to point that out. He did that and kind of alluded to him kind of relying too much on what happened in the past. And especially with the IC title, the reason he wanted to destroy that belt is because when he earned his first, as he thought, Wrestle Kingdom main event – like him being in that title spot. This is before LIJ, before all that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't going over well with the crowd. They held a vote, and his match against Okada, which was supposed to be the main event for the IWGP Heavyweight title, was bumped to second on the card for a Nakamura Tanahashi match for the IC title. Mm-hmm, so yeah. He always held resentment for that IC title. It seemed like when he won it this time, he didn't beat it up.
Yeah.
That maybe he was moving forward, but perhaps not. So it's interesting to see. He's still immensely popular.
So he
can eat losses for a little while and not lose any of his popularity.
Well, and I think, I mean, here's the thing. It's not just that he can lose, he can eat losses. It's this, I would think, is approaching bottom for him.
Yeah.
He's got to realize that what I'm doing isn't working. I have to. And so it is going to be very interesting over the next 6 months leading into the next Wrestle Kingdom to see what they do with Naito. Like, how is he going to, what's going to be his path, the way we saw Kenny Omega's path play out over the last 6 months or so.
Yeah.
What's going to be his way?
And if they, and this all depends if they, or they want Naito to be the top guy, want to be, you know, ace material essentially. Mm-hmm. And this is all based on what I know about previous Wrestle Kingdoms, and so it's not a ton. But it seems the trajectory for Naito might very well be, it might not even be this Wrestle Kingdom, might be the one after that, this upcoming Wrestle Kingdom, where he moves forward, builds himself back up, gets that belt off, if it's going to be this year, Omega at some point in the fall. Okada wins the G1. So Naito walks into Wrestle Kingdom as champ to face Okada, the guy he couldn't beat last year. And it's similar to the story, as I understand it, of Okada and Tanahashi, where the first time Okada took on Tanahashi for the belt at Wrestle Kingdom, he lost, and it devastated him. So the following year, he had won the belt. He walked in as champion. Tanahashi was a challenger. He beat him. He's new ace,
yeah,
essentially. So if, and this is all assuming if they want Naito to kind of be in that similar role, that might be the narrative they're looking to do down the line.
I'm kind of curious. So we're like, we're filming this as the press conferences are probably wrapping up around now. I'm really curious to know what Naito's press conference is. It might give us a clue as to what's going to, you know, where does he see himself? You know, I mean, because his character is so, you know, tranquilo. It's blasé. You know, and even Omega in his post match promo mentioned, you know, he dropped the word tranquilo and the crowd kind of gasped at it. Yeah. And so it's going to be kind of interesting to see, you know, how that all plays out. Looking at like videos here to see if anybody's put it up in short form video form on Twitter. I don't see it anywhere.
Yeah, I don't see it either.
But no, it is going to be very interesting. I'm going to, you know, definitely check that out tomorrow after I've gotten some sleep or later on today or whatever. So yeah, that's
but a really fun match. It was
so much fun. Jericho especially just made it so much fun. But yeah, I think Naito's story is going to be very interesting to watch
unfold over the next 6 months.
Yeah,
the next
absolutely.
Year, so.
Yeah, and that leads us to our main event: Kenny Omega versus Kazuchika Okada. I mean, dude, in a nutshell, I mean, until now, their time limit draw match had been my favorite. I don't see how this isn't my favorite now.
I know. I
mean, maybe I'll have to go back and watch it again or see some highlights, but man, this was nail biting. It was so good.
Mm-hmm. And it builds upon the stories of the other matches too.
Yeah, exactly.
It really
does.
Yeah. So the first fall didn't happen until a half hour into the match, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
There's this great spot where Okada had the upper hand. Had Kenny on the outside of the ring, tossed him over the guardrail, setting him up for his crossbody over the guardrail, which you see him do a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Kenny decided to counter that with a vicious V-trigger to Okada while Okada was in midair.
This was a spot that, like, was, like, we both shouted because we were like, we did not expect that to happen. Because, again, they're playing with your expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Okada's done this spot a million times, and it's always so much fun to watch. So you don't expect it to be interrupted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, oh, cool, he's going to do that bit. Let's watch now. And then all of a sudden, Kenny Omega busts a V-trigger out midair.
Yeah.
A mid-fun splash. It was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. The first kind of major story beat happened when Okada kicked Omega off the apron and into the guardrail, ribs first.
Mm-hmm.
And Kenny, throughout the rest of the match, was really selling his ribs.
Yeah.
Red Shoes, he went down ringside area to check on him. Almost seemed like he was calling over for some sort of trainer or something. Kenny was like, no, I'm fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Go away. So Kenny's selling a rib injury. This is while you went to go to use the bathroom. Okada hit this massive top rope drop kick. Looks like it hit Kenny right in the head.
Yeah.
It was insane.
They also did this really silly, but I think probably really cool intro video thing for Kenny Omega.
Oh, yeah.
Where him and Kota Ibushi, who's been his sort of trainer and he's corner guy for the main event, sort of discuss in sort of like a really weird ethereal sort of.
Well, I mean, before Kota
golden,
shows
golden,
up.
Golden, like.
Huge
yeah.
scene. Yeah. Before Kota showed up, though, it featured Kenny kind of walking through this gold tinted room
mm-hmm.
or hallway or something. And it's like he starts having a migraine. And he starts flashing back to all that's transpired since, you know, his Wrestle Kingdom match against Okada.
Yeah.
The ups and the downs. Kota walks in and through some sort of telepathy, perhaps, communicates with Kenny.
Yeah.
Saying, you know, hey, this is essentially this is where we're at. This is where we're at. What does this cost you? And there's a shot of the Bullet Club logo. And it kind of
dithers away.
And Kenny says, everything.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, now it's time to move on. Mm-hmm. Forward.
Yeah.
Kenny comes down the ring. Okada comes down. Match starts. The first fall goes to Kazuchika Okada.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny reversed. Shoot, how it was intricate. I feel like he reversed a tombstone or a rainmaker or something. Tried to do a roll-up. And Okada reversed that into a roll-up of his own and got the first pinfall win.
Yeah.
And after that first pinfall, man, Okada was cocky.
Yeah.
He was like,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Big smile on his face.
He couldn't wait to get the second fall started to win the match.
Mm-hmm.
And then about another 25 minutes later, awesome back and forth action. See, what I thought they were going to do, and again, this, as you mentioned, it's setting up expectations and playing off them.
Mm-hmm.
The entire first fall and a vast majority of the second fall, neither man could get their finisher off.
Right.
And so I was fully expecting Kenny to get the second fall, but without hitting the one winged angel. So the third fall, the story would be like, okay, who can get their finisher off first to get the win? But no, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Kenny got the second fall because he hit a V trigger and then a one winged angel.
Mm-hmm.
And so then what I say as soon as that happened, Kenny's not winning this match.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, he hit his finisher. That's it. He's done.
Yeah.
Playing
again,
off expectations.
Again, playing off expectations.
Yeah,
exactly.
And then on to the third and final fall, and that's where the drama really picked up. These two guys can sell exhaustion like nobody else.
Like nobody else. It was funny. There was one bit where they were both trying to get each other up for a tombstone, and I said to you, I said, this is what it would be like if you and I, at our best, at our most fresh, at our peak, this is what it would look like if we were trying to do tombstones to each other.
Yeah.
It'd be awkward and clumsy. And they sold it so well. They sold so much of that third fall was just combating the previous falls, essentially.
Well, it was
the,
not
the fatigue.
Only them battling each other, but battling their own...
Their own bodies falling apart,
yeah, their
basically.
Own limits.
Yeah.
Is who could push through that level of fatigue
mm-hmm.
to muster up that last little move, that last little bit of energy... That'll lead him to victory.
Yeah.
And it was back and forth the whole time. Okada went for Kenny went for a powerbomb. Okada held on or reversed it. But Omega still had him. Hit a Styles Clash.
Yeah.
Something we hadn't seen.
Yeah.
Even before that. Sorry. Omega goes for a one-wing angel. Okada reverses into a Rainmaker. Okada, the first time he hit a Rainmaker, Omega kicks out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Styles Clash spot. And there's a couple other spots where Kenny was trying to go for a one-wing angel and couldn't get Okada up.
Yeah, it's a rough move to pull off. Like it's,
well, like fresh, it seemed like it would be, because you're deadlifting essentially a person
right,
on your shoulders.
Yeah.
After that, Omega has the upper hand. Kota Ibushi gets on the apron, starts talking to Kenny and you know, kind of advises him, maybe try this. Because at this point, Kenny's having a hard time getting One Wing Angel off, so he couldn't hit his own finisher. Hence the Styles Clash.
Yeah.
And Kota says, go up top. So Kenny Omega goes up, tries a Phoenix Splash, which is was Kota's finishing move.
Yeah.
Misses completely.
And again, you're kind of thinking at that point, because especially like Don Callis, especially is like, you know, selling Why is he telling him to do this? Why doesn't he just let him wrestle his match?
Yeah.
And you're thinking, oh, man, that's a huge mistake. That's going to cost him. That's going to lead into a story.
Yeah.
So, you know, things that you think are going to happen don't happen.
Well, then shortly thereafter, Okada goes for a Rainmaker, connects, but he can't follow through. He just collapses.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so Kenny kind of does a half sell where he's standing up but kind of wobbly on his feet, and Okada just falls to the mat. After that, Okada hits a Rainmaker. Another goes for a third to finish Kenny off. Kenny reverses, counters the third attempt into a German suplex. He tries going for another German suplex, or hits another German suplex, tries for a third. Okada counters. A lot of great countering into this match. Omega goes, reverses the Rainmaker into another one-wing angel, hits it, but he can't make the cover. Okada's right near the ropes, too, so it wouldn't have mattered. More back and forth, more selling of exhaustion, more of them just trying to muster, get just enough to hit that one last move. Yeah. Kenny finally does it. Pins Okada after a one-winged angel, wins the IWGP heavyweight title.
Yeah. Young Bucks come out. They sort of keep their space.
They slowly make their way down the ramp.
Yeah.
Get up on the apron. Kenny sees them.
Brings them in for a big hug.
They all hug.
Big group hug.
Kota gets in there too. All four of them are embracing.
Kenny cuts. Cody comes out.
No, first, Kenny cuts a promo.
Oh, okay.
He cuts the promo first in Japanese.
Yeah. And the great thing is, the awesome thing was, they had the English translator on hand so that as he was speaking in Japanese, the English audience, you know, who really wants to know what's going on, gets to know what's being said.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, it was fairly generic. You know, he said, you know, it's been a long road or whatever. I'm champion now. It's going to be, I don't know. It was fairly generic stuff. He said, I'm a champion. My best friends are champions. And you know, and there's this lovely Kota Ibushi here as well, and I love him. And then he says, and you know what? This is for our you know, our English fans. I'll speak some English now.
It's like we're an international promotion or something.
Global promotion. So I'll speak a couple words in English. And again, I forget exactly what
he kind of said, you know, for all the people who said you should cash in.
Play
it safe.
Yeah, kind of making a reference to, you know, people thinking he's going to go to the WWE.
Yeah. And he says, I do things the way I want to do them.
Essentially. Yeah. And he said in his Japanese promo, in the Japanese promo, he said, essentially, you know, people thinking, you know, me not winning the belt means I'm going to leave. Well, you know, that's not the case. I do. You know, and then in the English one, he said, I do what I want. I live my life the way I want to live it. Big group hug. Cody comes out, just goes to like not even mid ramp, just sort of stares. And then turns around and walks away. So
probably Cody versus Kenny at G1 Special.
Yeah, it could be the case.
Where Kenny can avenge his loss from Ring of Honor.
Of
Honor.
Yeah, that's right. And then and then the show ends. We caught a little bit of Kenny's press conference. And it was all good stuff. He declared, the last thing that we sort of saw was he declared the Kota Ibushi, the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega are now the Golden Elite. So we got that. Make some t-shirts.
New faction.
Going to sell a lot of t-shirts.
Yep.
So, I mean, absolutely stunning card.
Yeah.
Fantastic main event.
A blast of a show in entirety. It was really fun.
Yeah. And again, thanks to all the friendos for hanging out with us during the live stream. You guys really make it something extra, extra special.
Yeah.
A lot of great jokes, a lot of great moments. And it's always, it's so much fun to go through that stuff with you guys.
Yep.
So anyways, we're going to go home and rest.
Yeah.
I am going to sleep. You're going to eat donuts. I think that's fair.
I'll sleep eventually.
Fair trade. Anyways, so that's it. Hilton, wake up. I need you to hit the music, dude. Hilton. There it is. Wait.
There we go. Thank you, Hilton.
Good job, Hilton.
Hilton.
Anyways, Hilton.
Can't talk right now.
I know, me neither. I'm dead. Anyways, that's it for the show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.